Hey, Greg, back at the Li-Fi World Congress. How's it going?
Good. Here we are. Future of light. We'll see where it's going, right?
Yeah, Li-Fi is pretty exciting. Hey, this show is brought to you by Keystone Technologies. Go to KeyStoneTech.com, GregKeystoneTech.com.
Retrofit Kings. They've got all sorts of the right product out here in the market, and maybe they'll look at Li-Fi as we go down the road after hearing this, maybe.
For sure. Yeah. So we have Dr. Brant Pearce from the University of Virginia with us. And we're talking to her about Li-Fi technologies and their applicability. Thanks for listening, folks. Hang on 1 second. Welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, Dr. Brant Pearce.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to have you. Of course, my host, Craig Garrick. Say hello to him.
Hi, how are you, Craig?
Good. Thanks for being on. We appreciated your topic earlier, your discussion earlier. Listen to that. And now to get you on is always great. So thank you.
So, you're in academia as a scientist.
Yes.
You're also involved in some startups. Mm-hmm. Are you an equity shareholder in those startups?
I am. Just one startup.
One startup. And what is it focused on with respect to Li-Fi?
So the company is developing a product. They're developing hardware, the lighting panels and the dongles to implement Li-Fi in, say, a commercial setting or in an office setting.
So you're researching this at the university?
That's right.
Okay. And when you have your research hat on, you think, oh, wow, this is great. Look how wonderful and secure and all the things about Li-Fi. Where do you think it's really going to land as a practical technology? Where's the first application that it really works?
So from a practical perspective, what makes sense to me is to try to address needs that are currently not being met. So there's so many environments that can't use wireless communications technology because of either excessive interference, because RF is radio frequency is forbidden, or simply because of security concerns. So my sister works in an embassy, and she can't bring her cell phone in, for example, right? Because they're worried about security.
Yes. Well, I mean, they could be having some private conversations in that embassy that they don't want other people to hear. So Li-Fi, is it inherently more secure simply because it doesn't pass through walls? Or what's so secure about Wi-Fi? Li-Fi.
Yeah, so when you think about radio, it can penetrate walls. It goes around obstacles. And so it's very easy for an unintended receiver to capture the signal, right? So we think about the radio frequency as emitting this radio frequency signature that is accessible to an unintended observer. While light will be contained by opaque walls. And so what gets emitted in the room stays in the room.
Now it needs to have light for it to be able to work. What if it was an area where you had spotty lighting, where it was a recessed can light, say? A spot on the ground, there's a gap of light, and there's another spot.
So
could that work?
When we think about Li-Fi systems that are piggybacking on illumination, then we basically rely on good architectural principles that say that any spot in the room is illuminated by multiple lights. That's what alleviates those strong shadows. So you get away from that the single light bulb in the prisoner cell environment, right? So that's good architectural lighting. So we can take advantage of that in Li-Fi so that if you're blocking one light or if you're not right underneath one spotlight, you still have connectivity to other lighting.
Okay. And I assume Li-Fi, is it a faster internet speed in general than Wi-Fi or what's out in the market?
So the current technology is limited by the speed of the LEDs that are used in lighting. And of course, there's a lot of research to make that faster. The biggest advantage right now is if we're in a larger room, like we're sitting here at the Li-Fi Congress, we're all sharing the same Wi-Fi system. Mm-hmm. If we were using Li-Fi, the three of us would be sharing one lamp and everyone else at the Congress would be served by their own light. So we don't have to share the bandwidth, the data, the way that we do with current Wi-Fi systems in crowded environments. So each access point may not be that much faster than a Wi-Fi system, but it's just, it's
that much
it's
more present
own.
Or it's
exactly
it's in the area. As long as the lights are on.
What if we dim the lights?
Yeah, so the products, most products have embedted infrared lights.
That's what I was going to say. Is it visible light or is it invisible light as well?
So yeah, so we do both visible and infrared light. Like that, if you want to dim the light, that you still have connectivity.
So the dimmed light will be slower internet?
If you're using the infrared, then you have the high data speed still.
Isn't infrared light bad for you?
No, there are very strict safety regulations of what kind of power you can emit. But it's mostly eye safety, right?
Yes.
You don't want to be staring into a very bright light. Now, we use LEDs. We don't use laser diodes. So those safety concerns are more present in laser communications than they are in LED communications, where the light is much more diffuse.
Mm. And we had another company on called SLD Laser, which makes lasers, and they're trying to fill in the niches around the LED market, that areas where LEDs are not really practically, like for tight spots and stuff like that. Is there a particular type of lighting, a luminaire that would be best served for Li-Fi, or is it just any?
I think that right now, because we're trying to break into this market, most companies are going to lighting companies. Most Li-Fi manufacturers or developers are going to lighting companies and say, hey, let us embed our LED drivers, our techniques into your already selling luminaires, lighting panels. I think in the future, it's clear that we're going to try to optimize both systems simultaneously, where you can design a lighting fixture that not only provides excellent lighting, but is also better for Li-Fi.
Now, is it the concentration of light necessarily, or is it the whatever the piece is that goes into the light that makes it Li-Fi enabled? Like the more concentrated the light, is it stronger service?
So in terms of taking a lighting panel and making it Li-Fi enabled, you have to have the LED drivers that facilitate that, where the data can come into the drivers and the drivers then modulate the LEDs. So in terms of how would you design a lighting panel, a luminaire, to best serve Li-Fi, you would want to design the LEDs and the configuration of the LEDs so that you're able to create small cells of small access points that are fairly separated so that you have less interference.
One of the most popular fixtures that's coming out now is like a volumetric troffer, or it's a direct indirect kind of light. So that the LEDs are not pointed down, they're actually pointed up in the luminaire and then reflected out. Will that cause problems with Li-Fi?
No, those kinds of systems provide very good light from a human perspective, right? Because a lot of it is diffuse. And as long as your lighting is sufficient, so there's standards for lighting for different environments. So in an office, you might need, say, 400 lux, but in an operating room, you'd need 10 times that.
Yes.
And so whether you do it through direct line of sight or through a reflected system, you know, it doesn't matter as long as you have sufficient light.
That's so the signal will go up and then into that basket, into the light, into the drivers. How does it travel over light? How does the information travel?
Yeah, so the best way to think about this from a layman perspective is, do you remember those old naval movies where they're trying to do ship-to-ship communication and they take these beams of light and they flick them on and off?
Yes.
We're doing
in Morse code.
Exactly. We're doing that, not using Morse code, but we're doing that but at over a million times a second, so that your eye cannot perceive it, right? So you're flickering it on and off or different amplitudes. And of course, there's more sophisticated ways of doing it, but that's the basic principle, is that you are modulating the intensity of light very, very fast.
And that's how you send the information.
Exactly. The information is encoded in the intensity of the light.
How does the information know to encode itself that way?
Well, that's what the driver comes in, right? So the data is coming in to the driver through an Ethernet cable or through whatever technology, right? And then the driver takes those bits, that data signal, and encodes it into a current that then drives the LED.
So can any fixture be Li-Fi as long as it has this driver?
So any LED fixture, yes.
And
so
is it the same driver? There's, 20 companies here, and I'm sure they have some differences, but is it the same driver in all of them?
It's the same basic idea that you have a driver. And you heard earlier today that the challenge is how to take an electron and turn it into a photon, and how to take the photon and turn it into electron. So that's, how do you take this signal, this data signal that's fundamentally electrical, and then through a driver, then motivate the LED to transmit the light that conveys the signal. It's all the same basic principle. Now, of course, the devil's in the details, and each company here has their own proprietary details.
Wouldn't the best thing to study, like my eyes are probably the greatest Li-Fi receiver there is. Because I'm looking at you right now, and I'm processing you, right? So isn't that the same idea? Like my eyes are receiving messages of light from you.
That's very true. Our brains are very good at processing images. We have evolved into creatures where most of our input is visual.
Right.
And so our brains are not so good at processing fast temporal changes. Right, so if I change the image too fast, your brain can't capture it. And that's what allows us to enjoy movies, because there are still frames that our brains will put together as to video, right? So here, instead of sending data through an array of information that is an image or a video, we're doing a single stream and changing it temporally. So that if we were to send an image, we would need a very dense array. We would need to have the electronics that has a video capability the way that your brain has video capability.
Sure.
And it's just simpler from a complexity perspective to have single stream. So it's much more similar to what our ears do.
Okay.
Right? It's just collecting one temporal stream of information.
So like, think about this miracle for a second here, okay? So there's a little cord on here that I could plug into a computer, okay? And if I hooked it up to a fast enough computer, I could stream that video and this sound out to the world in real time.
Exactly.
Okay? And you're saying that you can send that level of information by flicking light off and on?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So if you think about, we've been using similar technology to this for, 20 years, because fiber optics works in a very similar way, right? Fiber optics, you have a tiny piece of glass, smaller in diameter than one of your hair.
Yeah.
And then we're sending light and we're modulating that light. And we've been doing this now forever. We rely on it. Every bit of data that you get on your phone, I guarantee it has gone optical at some point.
Sure.
And so what we're doing is going fiberless now. We're trying to do the same thing, but without the fiber. So that introduces some new challenges. Those are the ones that we're trying to solve.
Okay, so we're flicking lights on and off, and we're turning them into YouTube videos in seconds later.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. So, and there's no when you talk about Wi-Fi. So my kid wants to play this game Fortnite. You know that game Fortnite?
It's
a video game. If you have teenagers now, everyone knows what we're talking about. Or young kids. And he's always talking about ping speed and upload speed. Are those numbers still relevant in the world of Li-Fi, or is it different indicators?
No, there would be the same indicator. So the things that we're most concerned about really are, depending on the application, right? In the gaming application, it's data rate and latency, right? Those two things are really...
Data rate and latency.
...are really the most important parameters. But if I'm trying to drive an autonomous vehicle... I would think that security would be really important, as well as the quality of service, the robustness, to make sure that I always have contact with the vehicle. Mm-hmm. That would be key, right? And latency in terms of microseconds doesn't matter from the autonomous vehicle perspective.
It does. Well, that's why they have that edge computing versus cloud computing thing you hear about now. Like all the processing power is going to be at the edge, mm-hmm. where it's needed to get rid of those milliseconds of time.
Yeah, it's different though. The type of response time that you need for some applications are different than others.
So, right. So
you have just different types of requirements for different types of applications. Right?
Is there, so whenever do you know Randy Reed? He was speaking earlier, right? So he's a friend of our show. He's been on a few times. I'm not as excited about Li-Fi as he is. Obviously, you're pretty excited about it. I think it's a niche product. Is that how you say it in America? Niche, niche? What is it?
Niche is right.
En français, c'est niche.
C'est niche, en français. So I think it's a niche product.
So I think that you're right.
I'm open to be convinced, by the way.
But I think you're right to. I think there's a transition point. I think there's a early adopters are going to be environments that don't have a ready other alternative, right? So when you would talk about military installations, sure. or just any kind of environment that has really high security needs, there's no alternative. So. Mm. So that's a clear early adopter of this technology. So are we going to get to a point where every LED light is modulated? I can see why we wouldn't. There's no reason not to, because an unmodulating driver is not fundamentally much more expensive than a modulating driver.
Sure. Pennies or something.
Exactly, right? When you're talking about those kinds of scales. So is every display, every LED indicator, and every light going to be transmitting data? Of course, it will eventually. So it's not going to be niche eventually. Of course, we have to get from here to there.
I call that the Matrix.
As in the movie?
Yeah, yeah. Like when Li-Fi is totally pervasive, it's the Matrix. Mm-hmm. You're walking through the internet. Like you're literally walking through the internet.
Right now,
the ones and zeros are right there coming up and down.
You're walking through the internet now, though, because Wi-Fi is in 4G, 5G. It's ubiquitous. You are bathing in data every minute of the day, right? You just can't sense it because it's radio frequency and your body doesn't...
I just kissed it.
Uh-huh. Your body, it doesn't have a radio frequency sensor. The thing that's interesting about Li-Fi is your body does have a visual sensor.
The Li-Fi receptor
right
here.
Exactly, those eyes, right? And so... that's one of the aspects that makes Li-Fi rather intuitive, right? We've all had the experience where the remote control stops working and you just keep hitting the button and nothing happens. But because it's infrared and you don't see infrared, you don't realize, oh, the battery's dead. But with Li-Fi, it's very intuitive. It's like, oh, I've turned the lights off, or I'm not in the path of the light. And so, of course, I don't have the data rate that I want. So there's something much more satisfying about it, because we, in some sense, we control it better than the RF, where some people are really afraid of RF because we don't sense it.
See, I think the issue with Li-Fi is that you always have to have the lights on. There's times when you don't want the light on, but you want the data, so you're going to have two systems.
Yeah, so most products have embedded infrared in the lighting fixtures to alleviate that concern. So if you turn the lights off, the infrared is still transmitted. And again, you get back to the same issue that you don't see it. So is it on?
Got it. So we talked about everything's going to be connected. And internet speed will matter for that, I assume. Like you want faster internet so the connection can happen more instantly. So we sell light bulbs. That's our job. And Mike dives into that a lot on our show. But we're selling to an end user. Are we going to be able to go to them and give them a story now that they're going to get faster internet so they can connect whatever they need to connect to hopefully make more money for them?
All you need to do is buy this dongle and you're good to go, son.
That's right.
Yeah, so I mean, right now it is based on the dongle, but eventually it's going to be embedded in every device. Why wouldn't you? It's going to be a tiny chip that, as you say, is going to cost, you know, a buck or so. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to have one embedded in every phone, in every headphone, in every everything. So you'll just be able to just the way right now you do with Wi-Fi. You don't even think about it. You just turn it on, you connect.
And I've walked around the show a little bit, and I'm kind of confused. So you said devil's in the details, proprietary information for each company here. What are some of the things that separates it? If it's all the driver, is there some other capabilities that each one does different? Or
yeah, so I think there's multiple aspects that could be different from device to device. Some of it could be the optics. So you could use different lenses, different angle LEDs, different configurations for your transmitters and receivers, right?
Meaning so, you'd spread it further with a better optic or the internet signal?
Exactly.
Further?
Your signal to noise ratio might be improved. You might have better signal coverage, right? So, and your receiver, you could have several receivers. You could have several photo detectors, or you could have an array like that, or you could have lenses that could allow you to better collect, concentrators for the light. And then there's what I'll just generally call signal processing that has to do with what kind of modulation, coding, equalization, the kinds of techniques that you manipulate the signal before you transmit it and after you receive it, that allows you to do it more efficiently at higher rates with less interference, etc. And those are a lot of the protocols that are being debated in the standardization process.
And there is a standardization process.
It is going on. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And how long do they think until that will be? They'll have a standard.
Standards are. It's an evolving process. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to know on our end. When it seems like something that will be practical for everyone.
So you're in the ivory tower. All right, smiling with your beautiful necklace, by the way, that I can see with my Li-Fi receptors.
Yes.
So we're in the trenches of the sales world, and I'm sitting here, Greg, with myself. I'm thinking, am I going to be pitching somebody in the next year or two saying, all right, buddy, get rid of that Wi-Fi thing. We're going Li-Fi. Right. We're going to change out your lights. You're going to have 50 lux, and you're going to have internet signals to all your employees, wherever they want it, with these little dongly things made by Dr. Brent Pierce. It's going to say a big picture around the back of it. I mean, are we going to be doing that?
So it's actually not going to say my name. It's going to say my company name,
okay.
VLNcom. So
VLNcom.
I'll do a little pitch for them. So what I imagine will happen is that first it's going to be commercial entities,
okay.
Right? Where manufacturing plants, some industries.
Those are my customers.
So and for them to invest in this kind of technology where they have no ability or little ability to do wireless communications right now, it's a no-brainer. It's not that expensive to go ahead and set it up, especially for new construction, right?
Yes.
So in terms of retrofitting a building, even then it's most buildings have false ceilings,
sure,
where you can just run new lighting in there.
Sure.
And then once you have really high productivity and data rates and low latency and great coverage at the office, then it's like, well, maybe I should have this at home too.
You know what's interesting is that I do a lot of podcasts, probably 3 or 4 a week now. Okay. So I get to meet all sorts of neat people and one of the things that I've often heard, which I think is wrong, is generalization. You hear people say, people are so slow to change and people don't want to change anything. And I actually think it's the opposite. I think when humans, beings, find something that's a true productivity will help them, they change very quickly. Like we went from not having devices, we all have these devices now. What is it that we passed the 50% internet connection rate worldwide? So 50% of all human beings are now connected to the internet, right? And the other 50%, it's crazy. It's actually wild. So we change very quickly. Do you think the benefits of Li-Fi will just be so obvious that there'll be mass adoption? Because I asked you this earlier. You still said niche or niche. We're in France, so we'll say niche.
So I think it's obvious that we're going to get there. So there are.
You think there's going to be mass adoption of Li-Fi?
I think there's no question there is going to be mass adoption.
Hmm.
There are early adopters, certainly in any technology. There's those that say, jump on any bandwagon.
Yes.
Let's jump on it, right? And
I'm good at jumping off wagons. I've fallen off or jumping off anyway, but yes.
That's not the kind of wagon I'm talking about. So it, to me, it just makes too much sense to not eventually adopt it, because it's if you had a device that did two things, and for years and years it only been only one of its aspects was turned on. Once you found out it can do a second thing, then wouldn't you just turn it on?
If it was beneficial.
If it's beneficial.
So an example of a kind of technology like this that didn't take off would be near-field communication. Mm-hmm. So NFC did not take off the way everyone thought it was going to take off. So mm-hmm. it was like a NFC, everyone's going to be using near-field communication. Remember that, like five years ago? And now, like, Li-Fi's kind of filled that spot where it's like, Li-Fi, yeah, we're going to go Li-Fi. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, I don't know, man.
So the question is, can it get past that early adopter stage, right? So Li-Fi will have an early adopter stage that is, in my mind, composed of primarily environments that don't have an alternative.
Right.
And the near field never had that. And so here, once you have every financial institution, every military institution, intelligence,
sure.
you know, anybody who's interested in security.
Like Northrop Grumman or whatever.
Exactly, yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, the whole, we could outfit the whole Pentagon.
Sure. Right?
So there's a great number of individuals who work in those environments. And once to be able to support those environments, we're going to have Li-Fi embedded in at least some devices. And then once you get past that point, then I can't see it not just taking off.
Will it always need, I know at this point it does, but will it always need that driver for it to be Li-Fi enabled? Or can we go into an existing fixture and make it by changing a part?
So today you can't go to an existing fixture and
great question, just, by the way.
And connect, right? Because yep. the drivers that are in LED fixtures today mm-hmm. are not set up to plug in an Ethernet. There's no Ethernet jack in these fixtures.
Right.
But, you know, in a year or two, you might be able to go to Lowe's or Castle Hamas.
Premier Lighting in Minnesota.
There you go, Premier Lighting in Minnesota, and say, here you have a LED fixture, and right next to it, for a few dollars more, you have a Li-Fi enabled LED fixture. And so when you're trying to make that decision, then as long as the cost factor is not significant, why wouldn't you go with Li-Fi enabled?
I think the key word you said is fixture, though. A lot of times in our market, people don't want to replace their fixtures. Mm-hmm. They want to keep what they have. They want to make it efficient.
You need a retrofit kit. Call Keystone.
Li-Fi enabled.
Keystone, there's a shout out to you. You're going to have the future Li-Fi kit.
Yeah, so I know that there are some light manufacturers right now who are so convinced about Li-Fi that they are designing their drivers and their fixtures so that all you need to do is change the driver. You don't have to change the fixture.
Okay.
So if, you know, really forward-thinking lighting manufacturers need to be thinking about this and say, I don't want to put the money into these fancy drivers, but to make the fixture set up for life already is a no-brainer.
I know I'm beating this to death, but does it have to be in the driver? Can it be whatever that is in the driver that does what it needs to do? Can it be outside the driver and be its own component?
Yeah, so the driver is external to the LEDs already,
yep.
So you just replace the driver.
But what if it has a, I'm thinking like an LED tube, for example, where the driver is built into it, you bypass the ballast, mm-hmm. you have no need for it. Can they ever take whatever that chip is that's in the driver now or that component and then put it in the fixture without the driver?
So, yeah, so the driver right now for most LEDs is a pulse driver that it will level out the lighting. And so it's going to take whatever irregularities are in the input signal and average them out. So it's basically filtering out the data that we would want to transmit. So you'd have to have the driver designed to allow that data to come through.
Okay. So you need the driver.
Need a driver.
We have Dr. Brant Pierce from the University of Virginia. Thank you for coming on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
No problem. This episode of the show was brought to you by Keystone Technologies. Go to KEYSTONETECH.com, GregKeystoneTech.com. Light made easy, the retrofit kings.
Check them out for all LED retrofit fixture products that they have on the market. Future Thinking Company, we're at a future conference. great company, and I know they're going to be planning for the future.
They're going to have a Li-Fi something coming out for sure.
Someday.
Come on, Joshy, come out with it. Thank you for listening, folks.
Written on the rectory wall, there's a sign there for all. You are lost, Lord is there to find you.